Can't Wait for Christmas is a proud member of the Christmas Podcast Network.
Hey, buddy, what you doing?
Is it Christmas yet?
No, sorry, not yet.
I can't wait for Christmas.
Yeah, I can't wait for Christmas either. In fact, let's celebrate now.
Welcome to the Can't Wait for Christmas podcast.
It's May 25th, 2026, and that means there's 7 months left until Christmas. Today on the show, we're going to talk about the Trafalgar Square Christmas tree and how it's a symbol of the relationship between Britain and Norway. I'll do a special crossover with my old Kingdom Comedy YouTube series, turn an ordinary pan of brownies into a Christmas present for your mouth, learn about a Christmas-related lawsuit that made headlines recently, and I'll tell you about a surprising development regarding our Scrooges segment. Okay, let's start the show! Greetings, Yule Believers, and welcome to the Can't Wait for Christmas podcast, the podcast all about Christmas history, Christmas traditions, Christmas media, and everything else Christmas. I'm your host, stand-up comic and OG Disney adult, Tim Babb. Yes, friends, as I write these words, I'm freshly back from a visit to the happiest place on Earth, Disneyland. It's been a few years since I've been there, so I took my oldest son to check out the 70th anniversary celebrations that are still going on.
And you left your youngest son at home.
Okay, first of all, you are still in school, but your brother is done for the summer, so you couldn't come with us.
Likely story, bud.
And G-Ma just took you to Disneyland 6 weeks ago for spring break while your brother and I stayed home.
Oh, yeah.
May I continue with the show now, please?
If you must.
Okay, the Disneyland thing is going to be relevant later, but before that, let's get some holiday spirit going in the kitchen with our first segment, We Need a Little Christmas, now!
We need a little Christmas now!
Y'all know me, I loves me some Christmas. And I also love some brownies. If only there was a way to bring these two loves together. Well, thanks to a video I found on TikTok, it turns out there is. You can turn a batch of boring-looking brownies into a tray of Christmas trees and Santa hats. And it's super easy. First, bake up a pan of brownies in a rectangular pan.
That's super easy?
Oh, hey, imaginary listener, sounds kind of like Kermit the Frog.
It's Carl!
I'm not saying baking the brownies is easy. I'm saying making them Christmasified is easy.
I have my doubts.
No, really. You just take the pan of brownies out of the oven, and instead of cutting them into squares, make one cut through the center so now you have two long rectangles. Then, you slice up those two rectangles into triangles. Now, you cover some of the brownies with green frosting and sprinkles to make them look like Christmas trees. And or cover them with red frosting with a line of white frosting on the bottom and a dollop of white frosting on the top to make them look like Santa hats. If you have trouble visualizing this, I'll put a link to the TikTok video in the show notes of this episode. And you'll see it has other Christmas treat ideas in that same video, which we may cover in future episodes. And now, let's do a blast from the past in our countdown feature, 5 Golden Things.
5 Golden Things.
Long before I did this podcast, I had a very irregular YouTube series about Disneyland called Tim Babb's Kingdom Comedy. Basically, I was an adult Disney content creator back when no one had any reason to string those 4 words together in that order. I started the series when I lived in LA and had an annual pass to Disneyland and could go all the time. But then I moved back to the Bay Area and started a family, and the series started to get more and more sporadic until the last episode aired on July 11th, 2015. 6 days shy of Disneyland's 60th birthday and 14 days shy of the first episode of the Can't Wait for Christmas podcast. Now, I don't know if this podcast is the reason I stopped doing that show, but I do know that this podcast is bringing Kingdom Comedy back today for a long overdue episode. So you can hear the audio version here, but the video version will be posted to TikTok and YouTube. So, without further ado, let's cut to Tim Babb at the happiest place on Earth.
So, you're looking for a laughing place, eh?
So, for today's 5 Golden Things, I'm standing outside the Plaza Point Holiday Shop here on Main Street in Disneyland, and they've got a lot of Christmas ornaments available here all year round, so I'm going to count down my top 5 favorite ornaments in here for you to buy. Let's go take a look!
Number 5!
Disney Castle Christmas Metal Ornament. Make your tree royally festive. This charming metal plaque ornament features a magical castle nestled in a holiday wreath with the joyful message, Deck the Castle. With a classic tartan pattern on the reverse and a ribbon for hanging, it's the perfect blend of Disney cheer and seasonal style. Now, that was an official description I found online, and now here's my two cents. This is probably the most simple ornament in the list, but something about the vibrant green color and the way they altered the color scheme of the castle to make it red and green and made me gravitate to this one. And although I didn't know it at the time I recorded the video for this, it's the only ornament that I picked for this list where I wouldn't have to replace the batteries somewhere down the line.
Number 4.
Marvel's Avengers Light Up Magic Ear Hat Sketchbook Ornament. Mickey's iconic ear hat takes on Marvel's Avengers with this light-up ear hat ornament featuring the Avengers Tower surrounded by a detailed cityscape. Captain America and Iron Man are among the team members assembled on the front and back of ears. It's sure to look smashing on the holiday tree. Again, that was the official blurb. I don't know why they couldn't mention that Thor and Black Widow are the other two Avengers in the ornament, but now I've mentioned it, so I've picked up their slack. Now, I am a diehard MCU fan. I'll watch pretty much anything in that universe, so you would think this would be higher up on the list, but it lost points for not including the Hulk in the design somehow. But then I lose points for not even noticing that the ornament lit up. It wasn't until I looked it up online that I saw Avengers Tower lights up. This will be a running theme as we move through the next two ornaments.
Number 3.
R2-D2 Light Up and Sound Living Magic Holiday Sketchbook Ornament. Adorable droid R2-D2 celebrates Life Day in the Star Wars galaxy with a bit of old-fashioned earthbound decor, a Christmas wreath with holly and berries. Press the button on his dome to hear sound effects from the films and enjoy light-up features. There's your official blurb, and here is your unofficial bab blatherings. I really just liked how cute R2-D2 looked wrapped in a green wreath with a big old red bow on it. Little did I know, the lights on his face actually work, and he talks! I mean, I presume that's what he sounds like, because I did not fully investigate. I guess I need to go back to Disneyland.
Number 2.
Doom Buggy Light Up Living Magic Sketchbook Ornament. The phantoms of the opera that perform in the graveyard scene from the Haunted Mansion materialize inside a Doom Buggy for a rousing encore of their former lives. This fully sculpted ornament features translucent ghosts illuminated from within. Yes, friends, yet another ornament that lights up, and I was blissfully unaware of it in the store. I will say, even though the opera ghosts are not my favorites, I was really drawn to this ornament. It was actually one of the first ornaments that caught my eye. The shape of the Haunted Mansion ride vehicles, aka Doom Buggies, works really well for an ornament, and I love the way the ghosts look inside. I could immediately picture this on my tree, even before I knew it lit up. Now, before we get to number one, we have...
Honorable Mentions!
Normally the honorable mention spot would be filled with something I liked but didn't quite make the list, but since I took this trip to Disneyland with my oldest son, I let him pick the honorable mention spot. Take it away, Michael!
Matt Mickey Mouse Icon Bobble Ornaments.
Add an iconic touch to your seasonal decor with our Fey Mouse Mickey Icon. This mouse-eared glass ornament features matte satin finish that will bring a sophisticated touch to your festive celebrations. So what drew you to these ornaments?
They look cool. I like the frosted glass aesthetic of the red, blue, and green, which are all separate colors.
Very cool. Anything else to add?
They're Mickey-shaped.
Brilliant!
Number 1!
Kermit and Miss Piggy sketchbook ornament, the Muppet Christmas Carol. Infuse your holidays with nostalgic charm using the Kermit and Miss Piggy sketchbook ornament, inspired by the Muppet Christmas Carol. This finely sculpted piece showcases Kermit as Bob Cratchit and Piggy as Emily, complete with glitter accents and a festive lamppost base. A whimsical keepsake perfect for Muppet fans and seasonal decor alike. Now this one I did know lit up, and the reason for that is I actually have one. Last year my mom treated my boys and I to a tour of the Walt Disney Studios in Burbank, and we got to shop in the studio store after the tour. And that's where I found this gem. So I knew this one would look good on my tree, because it's right here now. Kermit and Piggy look out at me from my year-round office tree. And that's my list. My initial plan was to put links in the show notes where you could buy these items online, but it turns out Disney doesn't make these available online. There were some other non-Disney sites that sold them, but I didn't know how reputable they were or weren't, so I didn't want to risk you getting scammed in any way. So I'll just put a link to the video so you can see them for yourself and maybe get inspired enough to make a trip to the Magic Kingdom to add these to your collection, or just enjoy looking at stuff. That's always much freer. Now it's time to look at the latest holiday headlines in our next segment, All I Want for Christmas is News.
Baby, all I want for Christmas is news. Yeah. Give me that news, baby.
Yeah, news.
A few days ago, as of this recording, The Late Show with Stephen Colbert had its final episode. And even though I was in Disneyland, I found time to watch. And I wasn't expecting anything Christmas-related to pop up, so imagine my surprise when I saw this.
The owner of the music of A Charlie Brown Christmas and other Peanuts television specials has filed 4 lawsuits yesterday against those illegally using the famous song Linus and Lucy. Now, Peanuts is a powerful brand and corporation in and of itself. Anyone illegally using that music is going to have to pay through the nose. Lewis. Excuse me, Lewis. Is the band right now playing the same Peanuts music that I just said people are being sued for? Yeah, is that what they're doing?
Yeah.
Oh, no. I hope this doesn't cost CBS any money.
Now, it turns out there's more to this story than just a delightfully funny punchline. So, Peanuts Worldwide LLC, the folks who own the rights to Snoopy, Charlie Brown, and the rest of the Peanuts gang, are not the ones who own the rights to the music. Lee Mendelson Film Productions are the ones who own the rights, and they've filed lawsuits against the U.S. Department of the Interior for using the O Tannenbaum track in a digital holiday car that they posted to social media. The other lawsuits were against Heritage Auctions for using Linus and Lucy to promote an auction of collectibles on Meta, Buckle Down Inc., a belt company that makes Peanuts-themed products and used the music in social media, and video game publisher Game Mill Entertainment, who created sound-alike versions of Linus and Lucy and skating for a video game called Peanuts in 2025. Apparently, the sound-alike version sounded too much alike for Lee Mendelson Film Productions. It seems the reason for these lawsuits was what Mendelson Films calls an intolerable digital glut of unfair use of the music. I mean, no one likes lawsuits, but copyright laws exist for a reason. I'm obviously no lawyer, but unless you're providing commentary, review, or parody, you can't just use whatever music you want. The song's playing underneath us, isn't it? Well, that's not great. I can't afford to be sued. I have to show Lee Mendelson Film Productions that I'm on their side, and also make sure this is covered by fair use. I got it. You will get sued if you use the Peanuts music. Except for me, because I was smart enough to make it into a parody song. And now it is done. Nailed it. And now let's hear from one of the other podcasts in the Christmas Podcast Network.
Hello, this is Art from A Cozy Christmas Podcast. We're the podcast that explores the coziest stories and memories of Christmas. Join me as I invite you to listen in as I read some of the classic stories of Christmas. Stories like The Gift of the Magi or A Christmas Carol, among many others you may not have heard of before. Sometimes I'll have a guest on and we'll talk about Christmas and the stories that matter to them, like the stories of their favorite Christmas memories and traditions. Sometimes I'm joined by my favorite co-host, my daughter Grace, and we'll talk about and try different Christmas foods, play games, or chat about our favorite Christmas movies and traditions. And also teddy bears. So come on in, make yourself at home, and enjoy all the cozy Christmas stories and more heard here at the Cozy Christmas Podcast. You can find out more at www.cozychristmaspodcast.com.
Welcome back. This episode is dropping on the day we observe Memorial Day here in the United States. While Christmas is a day about celebrating giving and joy and light, Memorial Day is a solemn remembrance of the brave men and women who have made the ultimate sacrifice while serving in the armed forces. I wouldn't have thought there was much room for the themes of those two holidays to overlap until I learned about a Christmas tradition in London's Trafalgar Square involving a special Norwegian Christmas tree.
Each year since 1947, an early Christmas present has arrived in London in the form of a Norwegian tree for Trafalgar Square.
This tradition started as a thank you to Britain for its aid to Norway in World War II.
Wait, you already did this story.
No, I didn't.
Yes, I clearly remember you doing a story about a country sending a Christmas tree to another country every year after that country helped them during a world war.
Ah, I see. You're thinking of the Halifax tree. That's in Canada, not the UK, and it comes from the United States, not Norway, and it was set in motion after Boston came to Halifax's aid after a disaster during World War I, not World War II. Thanks for paying such close attention to the show.
Well, excuse me.
So, to tell the story of the Trafalgar Square Christmas tree, we have to go back to 1940, when the Nazis invaded Norway. Their initial invasion attempt was thwarted by the Norwegian defenses, which allowed enough time for King Haakon, the royal family, the cabinet, and most of the 150 members of the Storting, which is their legislature, to escape the city by train. The Nazis wanted the king to formally recognize the fascist takeover of Norway, but he refused and instead chose to resist and govern in exile. Britain's Royal Navy evacuated the royal family and the Norwegian government and brought them to London, but in the process, an aircraft carrier and two destroyers were destroyed, with 1,519 men losing their lives. Norway remained under Nazi control for 5 years, all the while King Haakon ran the country in exile. King Haakon would give regular speeches via BBC radio to inspire Norwegians to resist the Nazis. When the war ended, King Haakon returned to Norway with cheering crowds there to greet him. 2 years later, in 1947, Norway sent a Christmas tree to London as a thank you for their support. This has continued every Christmas since. The tree is lit on the first Thursday of December and is a yearly testament to the relationship between the two countries. But here's the thing. The tree sent to London in 1947 wasn't the first Norwegian tree to be sent to England. In 1942, while Norway was still under Nazi occupation and the king was still in exile, a Norwegian commando undertook a raid on the island of Hisøy, off the west coast of Norway. Among the things he acquired in this raid were two pine trees he cut down. He planned to give them to the king in exile. He was assisted in getting into London by two British intelligence agents, Norman Denning and a man you may have heard of, Ian Fleming. That's right, the same Ian Fleming, who would later become a famous author, whose work was turned into an iconic cinematic experience with an instantly recognizable theme song.
Oh, you pretty chitty bang bang, chitty chitty bang bang, we know who.
Okay, yes, bang, bang, chitty, chitty, but in terms of relevant to what we were talking about, I meant the James Bond books. The inventor of the quintessential super spy helped smuggle the first Norwegian tree into London in the middle of World War II. Depending on the account, it's even said that he is the one who suggested putting the tree in Trafalgar Square after taking the Norwegian commando for a drunken night on the town after his perilous journey from Norway. So the first Trafalgar Square tree from Norway was actually placed there in 1942 with the help of James Bond's dad. Although it couldn't be adorned with lights due to blackout rules, but it did lead to the tradition of a tree from Oslo, Norway, being sent to London, England, that carries on to this day. The tree is chosen from the forests that surround Oslo. Great care is taken in not only choosing each year's tree, but also cultivating future trees. For the last 5 to 10 years of a tree's life, they add special nutrients to the soil to make the tree grow its healthiest and look its best. They even manage what's around it so they can control how much sunlight it gets. So it's the perfect size for not only being on display, but also for transport. Because it's not an easy journey, which I'll get to in a second. But before that journey begins, there's a big ceremony in the woods where the mayor of Oslo and the British ambassador actually help cut the tree down themselves. Then comes the task of getting it to London. It's shipped by truck to the port, where they have to rinse all the road salt that it collected during its long ride before loading it onto a ship for a 26-hour voyage across some very choppy seas. Now, that journey can have an effect on the look of the tree, and in 2021, some folks definitely took notice.
Of all the beautiful spruces in Norway, they gave us the worst.
I think they can do better.
I actually came to see the tree. I was meeting my mate. I was like, should we go see the bad tree?
It's pretty
shabby. Shabby. She was about to say shabby. I'm almost certain of it. But in 2021, they didn't know how good they had it. In 2023, it looked like most of one side was missing. The criticism was so bad, they considered replacing the tree with a new one. But in the end, they just added extra branches. The official Trafalgar Square tree social media account actually weighed in after someone was criticizing the tree, saying, "Looks like you spoke too soon. Look at me now." Also, it's not always about what's on the outside. This is a beautiful tradition which I hope will carry on for years to come. Which I agree with. This isn't some mall tree that needs to look picture perfect so we are enticed to come spend money with our corporate overlords. It's a token of friendship to honor literal goodwill towards men. So I thought I could end this segment by reading the plaque that sits below the tree each year. "This tree is given by the city of Oslo as a token of Norwegian gratitude to the people of London for their assistance during the years 1940 to 1945. A tree has been given annually since 1947.
That's not the most inspiring ending to this segment.
What do you mean?
After you just spent all that time outlining the colorful history of the Trafalgar Square Christmas tree, you end the segment with two sentences that are drier than the tree's branches are around mid-January.
Okay, fine. You want some more color? I'll take some inspiration from the guy who technically helped get the first tree to Trafalgar Square.
Oh no, what have I done?
In Trafalgar, where the tree grows,
it's from
from Oslo. Muslim, you should know the tree that's in Trafalgar honors heroes, and it stands tall despite it all. The square of Trafalgar.
In Trafalgar, the tree stands tall in Trafalgar. Since World War II.
Adele, you are not.
That enough color for you?
Next time, I'll keep my vaguely frog-sounding mouth shut.
I doubt it, but now it's time for our last segment, which is still surprisingly called...
This segment doesn't have a name yet!
Yes, last time I turned it over to you to vote on the running segment we'll be doing in the back half of the year to determine the ultimate portrayal of Ebenezer Scrooge. We had over 20 options, and it seems we split the vote, because there was literally an 8-way tie for first place. Since it would be way too confusing for the segment to have 8 different names, we're going to do a special runoff vote with only the first place names as options. So, head to CantWaitForChristmasPod.com to decide which of these we should call our segment. Battle of the Ba, Scroogeapalooza, Christmas Carol Clash, Humbug Hunt, King of the Counting House, One Scrooge to Rue Them All, Who's the Scroogiest of Them All, or Who's Your Scrooge? I think I'd be pretty happy with any of those, but we gotta pick. So the poll will be open until June 24th, Leon Day Eve. So get out there and vote so we can finally retire this jingle.
This segment doesn't have a name yet.
And that's our show. Thank you for listening. Remember to head to the show notes to see that video of the Christmas brownies, to watch the video version of our 5 Golden Things crossover with Kingdom Comedy, and of course, to vote on the name of our Scrooge segment. I'm going to try and get some rest from all that walking I did in Disneyland, but until next time, Yule Believers, keep laughing all the way.
And that was Christmas 1983.
Actually, Dad, it's 2026.
Oh.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Can't Wait for Christmas podcast. If you like what you hear, please subscribe to us at Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Remember, if you leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, aka iTunes, and email us about it at christmas@tancast.com, we'll send you a free Can't Wait for Christmas sticker. If you'd like to see the show notes or leave a comment on this or any other episodes, you can go to our official website, CantWaitForChristmasPod.com. While you're there, you'll find a link to our official Zazzle store, where you can grab customizable t-shirts, ornaments, stickers, and all sorts of other Christmas-themed items all year long. We'd love to connect with you on social media. On Blue Sky, we are at Christmas Pod, and on TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, and Threads, we are at Can't Wait for Christmas Pod. We Wish You a Merry Christmas was performed by the United States Marine Corps Band, and this amazing version of Jingle Bells on the accordion was performed by the wonderful and talented Christian Nowicki. All other music and sounds used in this episode are the properties of their individual copyright holders, and they are used for purposes of commentary and review. No infringement is intended. Okay, boys, did I forget anything?
God bless us, everyone.
Merry Christmas!
So the first one is, and you left your youngest son at home.
And you left your youngest son alone.
No.
At home. Darn it!
I'm like, I didn't leave you alone, because that would be illegal.
And you left your youngest son to cry at home over Red Lobster.
And the next one. Oh, right.
Oh, yeah, right.
A little less whispering. You're not the Batman of this podcast trying to intimidate people. And then, if you must.
If you must. If you mustard.
All right, you can have this back. Thank you very much for
your help. It's the color of mustard.
Shiny mustard.
Well, you need to throw out your mustard if it's shiny like this. Bye, my shiny mustards! Stop.
Matt Mickey Mouse, icon, bobble. Bobble?
Bobble.
Bobble ornaments.
I'm not saying baking the brownies is easy. I'm saying making them Christmas. I'm not saying baking the brownies is easy. I'm saying making them Christmasified. Why do I write an imaginary word that's hard to say? Why would I do that? I'm already under the gun. 6 days shy of Disneyland's 60th birthday. It's all. You're celebrating your birthday. A Norwegian commando undertook a raid on the island of Hisøy. Hisøy? How do you pronounce Hisøy? The inventor of the quintessential super spy helped smuggle the first Norwegian tree into London in the middle of World War II. My lips and tongue get ahead of my mouth. This tree is given by the city of Oslo as a token of the Norwegian gratitude to the people of London for their resistance. Not their resistance, their assistance. If they resisted, I bet there would be no tree.